as folks are still filing in. And the reason for the changes is because we've got some guests, some special guests here today. And special in a lot of ways, special because they're part of the family of God, special because of the ministry they're involved with and our interest in those ministries, as Brother Gary just shared, and special because of relationship. Not only are we family in regards to the family of God, which is incredible, I say this all the time, we're stuck with each other forever, brother. That's how it works now. So, but it just gets better and better as we go. But family also in regards to relationship as well. It's neat to be able to see Jason and his wife, and I'll get him to give an introduction here in just a minute, and his children. And we go way back. I guess maybe not, hopefully not way, way back, but it's getting to that point. And when you folks sent us out many years ago into the ministry with fear and trembling, we ended up in a little village called McAdam. And a very unique place, very unique. The people, wonderful. The village itself is like a little national park all huddled down there, and it's a quiet little place. Matter of fact, we're going fishing here in a little while, in a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to going back to that place. And we made a lot of great relationships. The Lord allowed us to grow in our faith and our ministry there in McAdam, and we fell in love with the people there, including the people that are with us here this morning. And Mr. Jason Anderson was one of those people. Him and his family were a great blessing to us. His parents were a constant encouragement, especially as a young couple in the ministry. His family knew how to encourage us in subtle little ways that made a difference. So it's exciting to be able to be here today with Jason and with, I hope I don't get it wrong, Chanjun? Yes, is that close? And with Joshua and Lucy. And so I'm excited for the day. And they arrived here last night, and they were at the Krause House, which I almost think we should patent that name. It sounds like a really fun place to be at the Krause House. And so we're looking forward to having them here today. And what I thought I'd do for Sunday school this morning, Jason and his family will be with us for the whole day. They're going to share a presentation. He's going to do some preaching for us and give us some updates and understanding on their ministry in Korea. But for this morning, I thought we'd do a little bit of a Q&A. So we're going to keep all the Sunday schools upstairs. And we'll ask some questions. And Chanjun, you're welcome to join us up here. I didn't know if you would be busy with the little ones or if you didn't want to be. My wife doesn't like to be put on the spot, but if you're okay with that, you're welcome to join Jason. It's up to you. But what I thought we'd do is just ask some questions and kind of get to know Jason and their ministry in Korea. And I've got some questions on a sheet here, but if you have any questions, I thought now would be a good time to get those questions out. We don't always get a missionary with us, so when we do, boy, we're going to take advantage of it, guys, and we're going to ask all the questions and really get to know you. So, Jason, would you mind coming on up, and maybe I can get you to sort of formally introduce your family as you like. And like I said, they're welcome to join us, or they can sit safely back there.
Okay.
I guess your wife may join us here. I'm going to grab another chair.
Hello.
Can you hear him okay? And I'll pass the microphone back and forth between myself and Chanjun. By the way, very nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And you must be a special gal to be married to this gentleman. So I praise the Lord for that. And I mean that in the nicest of ways.
Right. She's my better half. That's
yeah. Right. Well, I got one of those too. So we're just going to sit down here. I'm going to get my Bible. I've got some questions here. But anyway, really good to be with you folks this morning. And we don't always like to put our missionaries on the spot like this. But I know you're used to it, and this is something that you guys do. So I just thought it'd be fun to ask some questions, and I'll kind of lead us off. We'll have a word of prayer here in a minute. And then if you folks out there have any questions about the life in South Korea, about the ministry, about how they were led into the ministry, and there might be some specific questions that you have, I want you to feel free to ask those questions. And like I said, I'll kind of lead us as we go. I want to start here just really quick. We've been in the book of Acts in our Sunday morning, so we're studying through Acts, learning about the early church, and remembering how it was for them back in those days, and sort of continuing on in those footsteps. And I'm thinking here of Acts chapter 14. There's a couple of verses. You remember, Acts chapter 14, just before we pray, it says this, "And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been, recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled." So remember, Paul and the entourage that he was with, these are missionaries sent out from Jerusalem, sent out from Antioch, and off into the great blue yonder. And so now they have fulfilled their ministry, at least this mission trip, and they're coming back to report to the church. And I love this. Verse 26, it says, 27, it says, "And when they were come and had gathered to the church, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles." Yeah. What's my point? They made a report. They came back to the church and they said, "Hey, this is what God has been doing. This is what we've been doing. This is what we've been a part of." And you can imagine a setting similar to this. This wasn't a business meeting. This was a family coming together to say, "So how'd it go? How was the trip? What was it like? What did you experience? Tell us what God has been doing in your life and in the ministry." And so you can imagine that excitement and that spirit. Mm. These are soldiers of Christ out in the dark forces of this world, out in the midst of the battle. We're the soldiers at base camp, and we're supporting them with prayer and however the Lord leads us. So it's exciting to be here with you guys. And on that note, I'll pray, and then we'll start with a couple of questions here this morning, if that's all right.
That's good.
Scared to death? Or
good to go.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. And even, Lord, as we have a bit of a casual entrance into our worship service today through this Q&A, we just ask, God, you bless our time together. Thank you for your servants. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, for their love for you, their love for the ministry and the Word of God. And, Lord, thank you for this church's love for them. And it's an incredible thing to be a part of the body of Christ, the family of God. And Lord, even today, we're excited to meet with some of the family and hear about what's been going on in their lives through your power and strength and leading. So bless our time and bless this family, Lord. May their batteries be charged. May they be excited. And even as they leave this little church here tomorrow and head off into the next season of their ministry and their lives, Lord, we just pray that they would be rejuvenated and blessed, that they would have a clear understanding of your will for them, and, Lord, a fresh invigoration to continue on with it. So, Lord, bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So the first question I have here is sort of an obvious one, but when did you, and maybe I'll ask the question, and it can be for both, yeah, but when were you inspired or when did you feel led to get involved in the ministry by way of mission work?
Yeah. Well, I went to Bible school in Struan Lake, New York, so all the way from McAdam there. My father had gone there. My uncles had gone there. So it was very, I don't know if any of you know Wendell Calder, but he was kind of the avenue to introduce us to Word of Life in Struan Lake. And so went there and studied the Word for a year. Actually came to faith in Christ in my first year just through reading the Scriptures and understanding the grace of God found in Christ. And went there for a second year, didn't want to go, but the Lord made it very evident that I should stay and study. And the second year at the program in Scroon Lake, it's very focused on missions. So you go on a missions reality experience. It's just for 10 days, but you go to a foreign country and you experience what it's like to actually minister there and you meet the missionaries. And so little by little, the Lord began to stir in my heart to see that there is this need beyond where we are right here. And it was at a missions conference in particular that we both realized that we don't have anything holding us back, that there's people in the world that need Christ, and we have that message that we can give them that can bring eternal life. And so at that point, it was almost disobedient not to go because we realized we don't have a family, don't have a job. Let's just go. We don't know where, we don't know what, but we just decided to go. And then the Lord just opened the door for Korea.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Amen. Yeah. Well said. That reckless faith that we sometimes talk about.
No.
Chanju?
Yeah. There was like never a point that I want to like be a missionary for my whole life. But when I went to this ministry first, like we have in Asia Word of Life SYME, which is Student Youth Ministry in English, and that's where I really met Jesus personally because through the book of Hosea. And after that, my dad is a pastor, so I grew up in church, and it was kind of shocking for me that I never really like read the word like intentionally. So that was like my first time reading there. And I think after that, I was just like had a passion to share that, like the good news to the people around me. And I think from that passion, just little by little, you know, still now we don't know how long or like what God has for us, but just that still has been just driving us to, into ministry.
Amen. I love that you said reading the word intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that, getting to a place where now I'm not just reading the Bible because I'm supposed to, and my Sunday school teacher might ask me, or my pastor might say, have you been reading your Bible? And I don't want to lie. So I say, yeah, I've been reading it. But there sometimes comes a time when the Bible talks about working out our salvation. Mm-hmm. And it's coming to a real place where you recognize that relationship is personal, and I want to consume the Word of God. I want to know Christ in a personal way. So
Right. That's
amazing. That's often part of the experience.
Right.
What would you say, just before we move on from the question, what would you say to someone that might be interested in being in the ministry? How would you encourage them to sort of take that reckless step of faith and just kind of say, you know, go for it, trust the Lord? What would you say to encourage someone who's thinking about, maybe I want to do this?
Yeah. I would say it's definitely not easy. It's not all sunshine and daisies. There's a lot of, it's just a faith journey. It's trusting the Lord to provide your needs. And it's a lot of just dying to yourself, but then also understanding that souls are worth it, right? The only thing that we can take out of this world is the souls of men and women, right? And so that's a worthy investment, right? No matter what you're doing, whether you're here or you're going to a foreign land, it's worth investing in. So it's worth the uncomfort, or the discomfort, even though it's not an easy path. There's support raising. Some people kind of put the brakes on when they see that they have to raise their funds. But through that, even the Lord just shows His faithfulness, you know. And through folks like you that are behind us praying for us. There's no greater blessing to be able to see that, to see people come alongside of you, and for the Lord to affirm your ministry. So it's not an easy step, but it's worth it, and it's clear that if we're doing it with the right heart and the right motivation, that the Lord will provide for that. So making sure that your heart is in the right spot, if you were going to step out, not that you want to build your own kingdom, right, but you want to build the Lord's kingdom in whatever way that He would lead you to do that.
I think as a wife and as a woman, I think I learned that in ministry, you don't always have to be the first guy to preach or like, you know. Oh, sorry. As a wife and as a woman, like I learned that, like, you know, you don't always have to be the front guy to like preach the word. You know, there are a lot of works that that you might have to do. Like, you might have to serve like to the ministry to happen. So, like, as a wife, like, my job, I mean, my serving is, like, you know, taking care of the kids or taking care of my household, but it's not about, you know, like, how big our, like, what we are doing, but it's more about, like, our daily obedience to God.
Amen.
So, yeah.
Amen. Well said. I appreciate that. I think a lot of wives in the ministry who are on the front lines would agree with that, that it's a lot of behind-the-scenes work. But praise the Lord, without it, what would we do?
So, amen. Yeah.
Well, let me just move on to another question, and then I'll open it up if anybody else has a specific question. But I wanted to ask this. What would a normal, typical day in the life of the ministry be for you two?
Yeah. It's hard to say, and we do camp ministry especially.
Okay.
So there's camp preparation, and then there's the camp itself. So camp prep is a lot of making sure everything's in order. Your sermons are prepped, and each team, the program is being prepared, and we all have the same vision, right, and same heart. So continually casting that vision to the team, making sure every team member is gospel-centered, whether you're in the kitchen, whether you're on the program team, making sure everybody's an evangelist, right? So making sure the team is well-fed no matter what area you're serving in. So camp prep is a lot of that. So it's a lot of just making sure everybody is in the right spot and preparing well. And then camp, it's crazy. It's from morning to night, we're with these campers that come, and we do English classes. So we do an English camp. It's not like a fun and games kind of camp that we have in North America. It's a lot of using English as a tool to reach out to them, and that's what they're very academically minded. So we do, I guess, in the morning, We do our quiet time together, so we get all the campers together, and we just get them to go through the Word on their own, and then we share that together. We have a quiet time sharing, so we share what they got out of the Word and just teaching them how to have that daily habit. It's not just about reading the Word habitually, but actually what can you dig out of it, right? What kind of treasures can you find? And so helping young people to be able to see that. And then we go into English classes, and we use English, but we try to teach the Bible, right? It's not just English, so that they can do well academically, but how can we teach them biblical worldview, and how can we teach them things that are actually going to be beneficial to their faith? And then in the evening, we have some free time and games and stuff in between, but in the evening, we have our main chapel times, and so we go through the gospel. We kind of do a no-grow show kind of format, and repro is another one that we do. So how do you know God? So we give them the gospel, and how do you grow in your faith? What do you need to grow? And then how to reproduce, right? And how to share your faith with other people. So we try to equip the campers how they can take the gospel that saved them, and then also give that to their friends and pass it on. So camp is a lot of that, and just I'm sure if any of you have experienced camp ministry, you know it's just being with the campers all day and just trying to get the gospel in, right? Trying to look for opportunities to sit down with them. And some of the more the best times are just when you're playing a game or something and you just go and start conversation with them about spiritual things. So
amen. It's like building those personal relationships and being meaningful and sincere about it.
And her day would look a lot different.
I was just going to say, how about you, James?
So we do homeschooling with the kids. We homeschool the kids. So in the morning, I usually focus on that, like homeschooling. And then in the afternoon, we try to visit the center, ministry center. And I have a discipleship meeting once a week. And we host the interns because a lot of time they miss back home. And so we try to cook for them.
The foreign interns.
Yeah, the foreign interns there.
And we're foreigners, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And also once a week we have a Bible study with the moms in the town.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, that's been really nice.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it's interesting. There's, you know, together in the ministry, but the Lord has different portions of that ministry that you would look after, whether it's the family life, the home life, the women, and those sorts of things, and likewise with you, with the organization or the strategies and implementing those things, I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Anybody have a question maybe you want to?
My question is, how easy or hard is it to talk to people in South Korea?
So how easy or hard is it to talk to people in South Korea about the gospel, I'm assuming?
The gospel in general.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting because the generations in Korea are so different. So it's everybody's different. The young people obviously are very different than even the middle-aged people have grew up in a developed, semi-developed country, where the older folks, they had nothing, right? And so they're a lot more community-oriented. The older folks are a lot more like, let's do things together. So the old folks will get together every morning and have coffee, like a group of eight of them or something. So the older folks are a lot easier and open to talk. And the majority of Christians, like sincere Christians, are in their 80s and 90s in Korea. And so the middle-aged people in Korea are very difficult to talk to, because they're all about business, business, business. Let's get things done. They're the ones that developed the country. They're the ones that saw that tremendous growth. And so getting them mentally outside of their work and rush, rush, rush mind is very difficult to actually have a conversation about spiritual things. Young people have this shell. They have a different kind of focus. It's academically focused. So it's really hard to talk with them because they're just study, study, study. They don't have much of a life outside of just studying. But also young people at camp, they kind of come out of that shell. They kind of let loose a bit. And they want to try out their English with the foreigner too and see how they can communicate. So I think everybody's different, but she might be able to answer that better since she's a Korean.
I think in Korea, like when you reach to somebody, it's really important to like build a relationship first. So, like OA open air evangelism is pretty common, but I don't know if you guys know, but in Korea there are so many cults, so it's hard to just reach them with like, oh, do you know God? You know, do you know about like, do you know about Jesus? Because often they will just like shut you down. They will just like walk away. So that's why I think through the camp or like through like local churches ministry, we try to like build a relationship first so that they know who we are, and then we try to like keep going with the conversation.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You need to ask her. Who asked the question?
That was
there. I spent 2 years in language school, so I got to the point where I can have a okay conversation. Korean's a tough language, but I'm still growing in it. I do get out on the streets, and I do evangelism in Korean, but it's a lot of one way. It's like in English, I want to dig in a bit more. I want to see where people are at so I can present the gospel in a way that really would plug into their situation. But with Korean, it's just one way. I can share the gospel, but there's not a whole lot of understanding detail what kind of questions and dilemmas that they have. So that's a bit tough, but working on it. I've preached once in Korean, so and it was tough. Yeah, it was very tough.
So I have to ask, because it's probably, especially for our young people here today, could you give us a sampling, and maybe as well with you, if you wouldn't mind, Chan Joon, but a sampling of what you've been learning, you can say, well, I don't know, whatever you like.
Yeah. 무슨 말 할까요?
자기소개.
자기소개? 안녕하세요. 저는 캐나다에서 온 제이슨입니다. 나는 한국에서 산 지 아마 8년 안 됐어요. So I said, my name's Jason, I'm from Canada, I lived in Korea for about 8 years. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, very good, all right. So he's both able to speak a foreign language and interpreter. That's two gifts. we've been going through the gifts of the Spirit in Sunday school. Yeah. Anyway.
Right. 예수님 믿으세요, it means Jesus, believe in Jesus.
Yeah. What is it again, sorry?
예수님 믿으세요, believe in Jesus, yeah.
Very good.
Nice. Yeah. Can't pastor say that.
I'm just going to confer, yes. How about you, Chan Joon? Would you mind giving us, from a pro, giving us a statement in Korean?
Koreans are really big in food. So if you say, like if you go to like visit some restaurant, if you say 맛있어요, which means like it's delicious, you just like stole their hearts.
In Korea, because of food culture, and because they were so poor, they don't say, how are you doing? They'll say, 밥 먹었어요. It means, did you eat rice? Yeah. And that's basically, how are you doing? If you ate, you're doing well. So, yes, I ate or I didn't eat. So, yeah.
Very good. Okay, thank you. So that I know that's one of the things that we were praying about. Yeah. Even back in Nova Scotia, was in regards to when we were down there, Jason had come down, and I know you folks were as well. But praying about language, that he would catch on to it quickly, and he would begin to learn, and it sounds like that's the case. So,
little by little, little by little.
Yeah, amen. Well, you're doing far better than me. So, and most of us. So, just before I move on to my sheet, does anybody else have another question that you'd like to ask either Jason or his wife? Or both. All right, Isaac, yes, sir?
How does the rest of the world accept Christianity in South Korea?
All right, I'm sorry, I should have said that. I'm going to repeat the question just so the audio picks up the question as well. So, this was Isaac's question. How does the rest of the world, what was your question? Okay, so how does Korea respond to the Christian faith?
Well, you're free to practice your Christian faith in Korea, and so I will share a little bit more about this later. But you have this unique opportunity because Korea is located in such a lost part of the world. So the surrounding countries are some of the most unreached people. Like you got North Korea right above you, right? You have You have Japan right next to you, which is the most, and so many, they call it the missionary graveyard, right? Because so many missionaries have gone there. So Korea, the hope and prayer is that Korea would be a sending nation. Now, Korea does send out a lot of missionaries, but I'll share a little bit more. There's not a whole lot of sound missionaries that are going. It's just a whole lot of tradition, and let me teach you about how we do Christianity, basically. And so, it's good that we have this freedom to exercise our faith, but really a lot of people have gotten away from the essentials and gotten away from just sound gospel teaching and preaching to just a lot more of just the tradition of Christianity in Korea. So, yeah. What do you think?
So before we came here, we met one of the missionary from Voice of Martyr, and he used to serve in people who escaped North Korea in South Korea. And he said many people escaped North Korea, many Christians who escaped North Korea coming to South Korea, and they will say it's easier to keep my faith in North Korea than South Korea. Because I think we often just abuse our freedom for our religion. So I will say we have so many churches. And as I say, like, there are so many cults, and then churches are not healthy. So we are working with lots of local churches, but also churches are mission field.
Yeah. I was just in the Philippines, and a lot of the locals in the Philippines that have seen Korean missionaries come in, they've put a lot of bad taste in their mouth just because they want to do things their way and set up church their way and with their tradition. And so they haven't really, it hasn't set well with a lot of Filipinos. And so that's a weakness of Christianity in Korea and how outsiders view that. Yeah.
It's interesting that some of the challenges that Western world would have, whether it's Canada or America, is this watering down of the religion, of the true faith, of the gospel, sort of trying to present it or repackage it in a way that's more palatable to more people, but it loses that essence of truth, and believers pick up on it, and it would leave a bad taste in their mouth. So interesting.
Yeah.
Very good. There was another question. Keith, you had a question?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're into a totally different culture.
Right.
So what would some of those cultural faux pas have been or be?
Yeah. Wow. So many. So many. Let me think. What would be the biggest one? Like, together. Doing everything together.
Respecting elders, even the year.
Yeah. I would say the hardest part was the unwritten rules. So, it's like a high context society. They live together in this tiny, like brother was saying, this tiny peninsula with so many people packed in for years. Like, and their history goes way beyond Canadian American history. So they know each other very well, and they all live and they fit this mold. They expect everybody to live in the same sort of way. So there's a lot of unwritten rules that you slowly learn, right? So And that's hard to pick up on those rules. It's like, so for example, just everything, they do everything together. And when they eat food, they share it all together. And if somebody gave you, So if you had a bag of chips, for example, in America or Canada, we could just eat our own chips. But in Korea, they just break out the whole bag. And they feel free just to come and take your chips.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Or a coffee, like one of the hardest parts for me, like we could go and get Tim Hortons and you could have your own coffee. And, occasionally you might buy everybody a coffee but if there's a lot of people, it's pretty rare that you would do that, right? But in Korea, you would never just buy your own coffee and bring it and just drink it by yourself. That would be super rude. So when I was with her family, there was like 20 of us on this vacation. And I was like, I'm going to go buy my coffee. I'll be right back. And she said, well, you have to buy 20. So I said, what do you mean? Like, I can't buy 20 coffees right now. And so that was hard for me to understand. But now it's totally common. Like, if I would have no problem doing that. But at first, that was just like, wow, it's very individualistic here. But in Korea, it's just everything we do together. They have the saying, even if you have one little bean, you should divide it up and share it. So that was tough. Yeah, I like my own thing. We have our own plates, right? And nobody touches your plate. In Korea, they have a community plate, basically. And you eat off the same plate. You kind of sense, how much have I had, right? I like the meat. I like the meat, but if I keep going back to the meat, that's kind of rude because nobody else is going to have meat, right? So you kind of have to eat a little bit of this, eat a little bit of that, eat a little bit of this, and wait, and then sense. That was hard for me to pick up on, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I like the concept of if you buy a Tim Horton coffee, make sure you have enough for everyone here.
Yeah, yeah.
So how, Chen Jun, what would you, is there other faux pas that maybe as a Korean you would recognize sometimes maybe a Christian from this neck of the woods would probably need to know right away? Or
I think, so in Korea, the relationship between like teacher and students, it's very different than here. So like it's almost like wrong to question teachers, mm-hmm. or like older people. It's like if they say, it's just everything is right. You just need to agree with them. So I think that's why even in the church, like you don't really read the word, but you just like listen to the pastor. And that's, I think, how we get so many cults in Korea. Because like they don't really read their word on their own. So it was quite a shock for me, like how many people, like they're just like freely go to like the pastor or like even the teacher in the Bible Institute, like they just have a question. And I thought it was really healthy for them too.
Okay, yeah. Interesting, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely, yeah, we have a question over here, yeah. The cults, some of the different cults. Yeah, can you speak on that a little bit? What would be some of the more challenging ones?
So I will say like more than 80% of the church, they still believe, they act on like some spiritual gifts, like speaking tongues, or they still believe in like prophecy or like all different things, like healing. So like Pentecostal and very prosperity gospel, yeah, it's so big good. In there. Wow. So yeah, and that's like more than, I will say like around 80% of the churches,
is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, and from that, there are many cults. I don't know if you guys know. Maybe it's not in the States. The
Shincheonji?
Yeah, Shincheonji, or yeah. I don't know what it's called, though.
There's one that's Church of God, but they believe in God the Mother, God the Father.
Yeah, likely a version of that.
Yeah. But they, going off of what she said, people don't know their Bible. They just listen to what the pastor says, and they just, oh, that's the truth, because the highest position is speaking that to us. So if you go down the street and you encounter a God the Mother evangelist, they will use just a couple verses, but they persuade people with those few verses. So in the beginning, when God said, let us make man in our own image, they'll say that us to say there's God the Mother, God the Father. And somebody doesn't know the Bible, if somebody doesn't know about the doctrine of the Trinity, then they'll just take that. Oh, I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. And then they'll use verses in the New Testament about Hagar and Sarah and Galatians, and using that to point to God the Mother. And then somebody that didn't know the Bible would say, wow, there is God the Mother. And then they'll get into that. So that's why we really push people to know the Bible, right? To read the Bible and to examine the scriptures on their own to see if these things are true, right? So, yeah. So,
there's that old quote that says, you know, I don't know how it says. I'll try my best here. Teach a man to fish and he can feed himself is sort of the second half of that quote. So it's one thing to give a man a fish. It's another thing to teach a man to fish for himself so he can continue to feed himself day after day.
Right.
Essentially, this is the concept in a rudimentary way, the concept of the ministry. It's not only we just don't want to give you the fish and tell you to eat it. It's good for you.
Yeah.
We want to teach you to fish. We want to teach you how to nourish yourself in a biblical way. And this is the personal relationship that we desire or should desire to have with Christ starts with knowing the Word of God, for sure.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Any other questions? We got still another probably eight minutes here or so.
Yeah.
Food. Is yeah. it good?
So good. So good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
If you adjust to the diet, it's very good, and you'll feel very good. There's not a whole lot of dairy, which would be hard for a lot of us. Yeah. So that means no cheese, no cream, no butter, and not a whole lot of bread. So
it's really,
and then
carrying his cross.
Yeah, right. Yeah. A lot of fermented foods. So kimchi is like one of their main foods, and it's fermented. So I had like a little bit of acid reflex before I went to Korea, and I went there and I adjusted to a Korean diet, and it went away. And yeah, it felt very good just eating a Korean diet. So their food is very healthy, and it tastes good. If you catch that taste, it's hard because it's extreme. It's fermented, it's spicy, it's sometimes fishy. So those things are really tough for a lot of people, right? So if you get over that hump and you see you can catch that taste, it's very good, yeah. So I really enjoy it, yeah. And she can't live without it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Koreans are known for being stopped at customs if they fly in because they try to bring their kimchi and all these fishy, nasty things that you would never think of putting in a suitcase, but they do because they can't live apart from their food. They're really notorious for that, that they have to have their own food because it's a very unique diet. It's a very unique way to preserve and to have their food. And a big part of that is because how poor they were. They ferment a lot of stuff, and they eat a lot of stuff that we might not eat. Yeah, there's things in our woods that Koreans would eat that we don't even know exist. Yeah, like gosari.
Look at the Kraft dinners and the Mr. Noodles and that kind of thing, and say no thank you.
Yeah.
Very good. The culture is interesting. Yeah. Okay. We have another question.
I got so many people ask me that question, but just living in South Korea, you are just so used to it. Like, so even a few years ago, there was this thing's happening that North Korea like start sending some
balloons.
Yeah, balloons full of trash, and they will send it from North Korea to like south of like very southern part of South Korea, and like. I saw like different like news platform like in different country, and they were like, what's gonna happen and everything. And in South Korea, they were just like excited for balloons. Like they're not really like scared of. Yeah, we're just not. Yeah.
Not fazed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Koreans aren't fazed by it. Foreigners are.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the foreign missionaries that are there serving, they have their own getaway bag. We actually have our getaway bag too, in case the North invaded. But we have basically different codes. Like we have code orange, code yellow, and code red, and all those are how to react to different threats from North Korea. Like full on evasion, we have a plan. Like our missionaries have a plan. How would we react to that? And what would our plan be to actually keep our family safe and get out?
Okay.
Yeah. So, but we don't fear that a lot because there's so many threats. And so many, like, oh, missile, they launched a missile into the ocean. Okay. Yeah. You know, it happens all the time. So he's just trying to flex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. Yes, sir.
Well, I haven't got over sharing a bag of chips yet.
Yeah.
What are the main blessings that you got from your decision to be a missionary? Mm.
Some of your main blessings.
Mm. I would say seeing the fruit of just the ministry and lives changed. Young people that grow up in this system where they're taught to perform and then getting saved out of that. And not only that, but being servants in their church and being hungry to reach their own people is the greatest blessing. And it's something that we share together because you guys are partnered with us, and for me, that's the most exciting thing. When I first got there 8 years ago, there was a few guys that came to faith, and now they're serving with me.
Amen.
And they're hungry. They actually just left. If they were here for one more week, you could have met them, but they are they came with me just to share about their heart for their own people. And they've come to faith and they've saw the need in their own country. And I would say that's the most valuable thing, that you can see it, and all glory to God because he did it, right? He changed a life, and we just get to share in that blessing. So, yeah.
Well said.
In Korea, we have a lot of mega churches. So, like, one of the biggest churches in the world is in Korea. It's located in Korea. So, like, Korea is more, like, about, like, multiplying or, like, building a big church, like, building a big building of the church. So it's about always, like, about multiplying. But something that I learned through this ministry, I think I learned how it's important to do, like, discipleship, like, how that one lost sheep is really important. So I think just learning about, like, biblical counseling, we took a course for biblical counseling, or even, like, taking a course for, like, how to disciple people, I think that also really blessed our family, like, how I view my kids and how I raise them. Yeah. So it's been a really big blessing. Yeah.
What about, just as we got about 3 or 4 minutes left here, and if anybody else? Yeah, Carly, go ahead.
The kids that go to the camp, like, it would be their parents that send them, I would assume. So
yeah.
The parents would be probably more receptive to wanting to know more. Like, I assume a parent who's, like, in a cult who thinks the opposite way probably wouldn't send their kid to a camp like that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the sad reality is that they wouldn't just come to Bible camp. The moms and dads wouldn't send their kid to Bible camp just to learn the Bible. The thing is English. That's the part that they send it for, which is sad. But that's the idol in Korea, is academics and getting your kid to excel in English and math and all these things. And so they come to camp. Mom and dad are happy, but the kids, who wants to go to camp and learn English, you know? And so... So it's trying to balance how do you actually give them fun and give them the gospel and go through the word with them and minimize the English part, you know? So to make mom and dad happy, but also to give them what they need the most at the same time. So some moms and dads do send with the right heart. Oh, we want our kid to learn more about the word, and that's great, but usually that's not the case. So that's why we do English camp. If it wasn't for that reason, we would not do English camp, because we could focus on way more important things, you know.
So it's advertised as English camp. Is it also, like, does it also say that you'll be talking about the Bible?
Oh, yeah, they know it's a Bible camp, but English Bible camp, yeah. Yeah. But we do have, like, actual classes where they sit down and there's a teacher teaching English. Yeah, we do a couple hours of that every day. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. Any other questions?
Is there something you really miss from New Brunswick?
Is there something?
Something you really miss.
Oh. From New
Brunswick. I know there's family, but I mean beyond that.
Yeah. Well, the Lord has made it clear for us to be in Korea, but if I could have it my way, I would be in New Brunswick because I'm a country guy. Like, I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love getting out in the woods. So that part is really tough. Yeah, to not have that. So I would say that would be the part of New Brunswick that I miss the most, is going out into the woods and being really alone. In Korea, you go out into the woods and you hike up a trail, and then there's a bunch of other people there with you, you know. So that part is hard. It's such a densely populated area that it's hard to really get away, right, to get away from the commotion. So that part I miss, yeah, getting away from the commotion.
I think as Jason...
She likes the black flies.
Take them with you. All of them.
As Jason said, I never realized. I thought I'm such a... I mean, I'm also from country in South Korea. And like when
not
he came to my country, he was like, this is the biggest city I've ever seen. So like, I never really realized how... The nature is like God's gift. Like, I didn't know how much it can give it to you. And I think after I visited Macadam, I just enjoy all this thing. Like, it's hard for me to going back, especially with the kids, you know, like the kids, like seeing the kids like running around and then just like playing in the nature. Such a blessing, yeah. In Korea, it's hard.
Yeah. You can't just send your kids out in Korea because you're up a bunch of floors. It's like go into the elevator, press this button, go down, then go out. You can't really do that in Korea. So
we had, we've had, and some of the families here as well, taken international students over the years, and we had some different students from Korea, South Korea, different times. And I can remember the one fellow that we had as we left the Halifax airport and we're driving to Pugwash.
Yeah.
He just, the only thing, one of the first things he said after he was quiet for a little while, he said, there are so many trees. And he just marveled over that. Just everywhere you go, there are trees.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, we appreciate being able to have this Q&A, putting you right on the spot. You guys are brave, and appreciate that so much. So we'll close with a word of prayer, and then in 15 minutes, we'll continue on with our worship service this morning. So thank you so much, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Chen,
for doing that. It's a lot of fun to be able to quiz you, ask some questions. So.
Yeah.
Why don't we close in a word of prayer, and we dismiss. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you again for your servants and for their willingness to share their heart, Father, and to do the hard thing, as even as Brother Anderson said, that to be uncomfortable, to be willing to be uncomfortable or to be in some discomfort for your sake. Father, what a blessing. And Lord, there will be no regrets. And so, God, thank you for their vision to serve you, to share Christ, to see souls saved. And God, we do pray, even now, Father, as we go into the rest of our worship today, Lord, we just ask that you would bless them, that you would fill them and their children, Lord, with joy and blessing. And Father, that we in return would also be blessed and that we would catch that vision. And as part of the family or as the family together, we would be excited about what they're doing and get behind them, Lord, in every way that you allow us to. So thank you for this time. And we ask for your blessing on the rest of our day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.